Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
They are. It might just be one lady. It's hard to really know. But she has written up a long piece here. I believe her name is Jeannie Beach. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but her name appears at the very bottom of the website from Granite State Matters. It's an attack piece against the Free State Project. It has gone into some misinformation and some well-researched information. It's been a bit of a mixed bag in this particular article, looking at the Free State Project, looking at its history. For those of you just tuning in, the Free State Project is the most successful libertarian migration on the planet. It is the idea of taking thousands of similarly minded people, liberty-minded libertarians, voluntarists, liberty-loving anarchists, and attracting them all to the same geographic area, one in which there is a very small population, like here in New Hampshire. And New Hampshire was chosen as the destination for the Free State Project back in 2003, and it has gone, I would say, very, very well. There have been tremendous successes that the Free State Project has had. Not only the success of actually getting thousands of people to move here,
yeah,
but then the other things that those thousands of people have done on their own volition. The Free State Project doesn't tell you what to do. They just say, hey, come here. We think you should be here. Here's some reasons why you should be here. Here's 101 reasons. You can go to 101reasonsfilm.com. You can watch it's a somewhat old documentary at this point, but there's an updated list of those 101 reasons that you can link to from there. And so it's that attracting, bringing people here, showing off. That's what the Porcupine Freedom Festival does and the Liberty Forum. These are the two yearly events that the Free State Project puts on to kind of showcase some of the successes that we're having, what some of the activists who are here are doing, and get people connected with the community before they make the move, give them reasons to make the move here. The more Free Staters we can get here, the more libertarian activists we can get to New Hampshire, the closer we will get, the faster we will get to a more libertarian place to live. It isn't going to happen overnight.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's, you know, the Free State Project, it's sort of, it's not really one thing. Like, there's the Free State Project Incorporated, and they put on events, but they put on, like, two events basically every year. But there's all of these other sort of groups and regions that kind of do their own thing as well. So,
yep.
It's very kind of a decentralized, you know, not top-down kind of thing.
And that's the way it ought to be.
Right.
I mean, that can be frustrating to some people because there's a lot going on. It's kind of hard to get a handle on that, but that's also, again, a plus because there's so much happening. If you go to the Free State Project website, freestateproject.org, or I think fsp.org, I think they registered that some number of years ago. I don't know what they had to pay to get it, but they got it.
Yeah, I have short three-layer domain names are impossible to get.
They must have paid a lot for that.
I can't even imagine how many millions they probably spent on that.
I suspect it wasn't millions, but yeah, it was probably
I know back in like 2005, it would have been probably in that
range.
You think so? Yeah. I don't know if the prices came down, but those are three-layer domain names are really, really expensive.
Yeah, exactly. So check their site out. They've got a calendar there that shows you some of what's going on. Shows you the public events, the things that they want to attract anybody to attend. There's also other things that are not listed on that calendar. So it gives you a nice starting point when you're coming to visit here to New Hampshire, if you're going to come up for a weekend or a week or something like that to kind of explore outside of Porkfest or outside of the Liberty Forum. You can come up anytime. There's always stuff going on. So let's go on with this hit piece here from Granite State Matters, where they're criticizing the Free State Project from having its own Discord server with rules on it. Now, we've criticized them for having their own Discord server.
Oh, yeah.
But that's because it's a Discord server, not because they have whatever rules.
It's not an actual server they control. It's,
right.
it's just a room, effectively, on a server that
it's
somebody
lazy,
else controls.
It's the lazy man's chat yeah. server. You're essentially relying on a centralized corporation, a woke corporation.
Oh, yeah.
That has all kinds of restrictions that otherwise they might not have.
If you want to be controlled, if you want your speech to be controlled, get on Discord.
Yeah. But they haven't decided to start their own Matrix server or whatever, and that's their problem. But anyway, the people are, whoever it is that's writing this article is criticizing them for having a rule on the server that would, quote, the purpose of the server is to increase the number of liberty lovers who move to New Hampshire. Therefore, anything that's not conducive to that goal or hostile to that goal is not welcome. As though there's something wrong with the Free State Project telling somebody who shows up on their chat channel who's talking crap about New Hampshire and like, oh, Florida's better, you know, whatever, DeSantis, Texas, you know, whatever yeah. it would be that somebody like that would say, for the Free State Project to say, okay, well, go to a Florida server then. Bye-bye. As though that's some sort of problem. So let's go on. They say, apparently, freedom of speech is not one of the freedoms.
Oh, my God.
If it interferes with duping the naive to join the cause. Yeah. First of all, freedom of speech is an important idea, but it's not the end-all be-all, and it is really only the most important ideal when it comes to dealing with a monopolistic, violent group called the government. You should have freedom yep. of speech so you can speak out against them.
And, you know, I think there's another aspect of this. It's you have the right to speak, but nobody is obligated to listen, right?
And you don't have the right to speak on someone's private property. That's what this ultimately comes down to.
Yep.
The Free State Project has their chat channel, just like we have our chat channels. Now, we're pretty permissive. When I say we, I mean the Free Talk Live. On the Free Talk Live server at chat.freetalklive.com, I generally don't ban people from that server. I can't say that people haven't been banned. I personally don't do it.
If there was ever a if you could ever say anybody was a free speech extremist, that's the LRNFM servers.
More so,
and
yeah,
most of the
on
channels,
the Mastodon.
Yeah, most of the channels here that were.
The Mastodon has been completely unmolested with the exception of stopping spammers.
Yeah.
And that is it. No one has been banned from Mastodon for having their opinions, with the exception of one guy who was banned for being a snitch.
I mean,
that's the other rule we have, is don't snitch on people.
I think, though, backing up a moment, is if we're talking about the LRNFM Matrix server, not necessarily a particular chat room, if that makes any sense, is what I was referencing.
Yeah,
so.
You can start your own channel. We don't care.
I don't think there's ever been like a channel that's – I don't even know if you can remove a channel.
You can.
Exactly.
There are ways.
Yeah, but I think
it's hard to
I
do,
guess
though.
You can sort of remove it, so maybe people can't join, but I think the people who are already in the channel.
No, you can
still message each other.
You can just zap the thing, but you have to go in from
okay.
like, you have to go through like the database or something. It's not an easy thing. It's not something that some admin can easily like right click and delete a channel.
I'm getting mixed information as to what the story is with that, because as it was explained to me anyway by one person, the channel is effectively duplicated on every other Matrix server to the extent somebody's connecting from another Matrix server.
Hmm.
So, but again,
no,
I'm not an expert on this either. So,
well, obviously we wouldn't be able to delete someone else's channel on another server, but
right.
But as
I understand it, if you make a channel on the LRNFM Matrix server and somebody connects from another Matrix server with, you know, they have a username on another Matrix server, it will copy and sync that room to that other server.
Okay.
And people apparently can communicate. I feel like that's wrong, but like that person's really knowledgeable about Matrix by comparison, I feel. So
okay.
I don't know.
All I know is my understanding you can delete a channel. As a administrator, you have, if you have access
to the server,
the,
of the Matrix
server. Backend, yeah, you can delete a channel. It is not something we've ever done. And if it's a private channel, we wouldn't even know it exists to delete it. Because you can create private channels and we don't have a list of those. We have no idea. If it's not a publicly listed channel and you don't share that information with anybody, then if you just invite your buddies to that channel, we have no idea it's there, because that's the nature of that system.
I presume it would have to be shown on the server on the back end if you look, though.
Maybe, but it would be encrypted. there wouldn't be any kind of
the way Matrix works, if it's a private encrypted channel, is you're individually encrypting each of your messages to every other user within that channel.
Mm-hmm.
So unless somebody was invited to that channel, you wouldn't know what people were saying within that channel.
You don't even know it exists if you're just a regular user of the server. I have no idea. As an administrator of the server, I have no idea how many private channels there are.
How can you delete a channel without knowing that it exists?
That's what I'm saying. You can't. If you don't know the channel exists, then it would be very hard to delete it. What you're saying is you might be able to go into some sort of database on the server and see the full list of channels, but it still probably wouldn't show you the names of those. It would probably just be some hash.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So you still wouldn't even really know which one is which. Unless you're in that channel, then you could probably get some ID from it or whatever.
Right.
So that's one of the key differences between Matrix and Discord is our system is decentralized. It's still a central server. It's still happening on our box, right? Like on the internet, we have a server that runs this thing, but
it's federated.
It's federated, which means other people can connect to it, but it's decentralized in that. Well, first of all, it's part of a federation, so you can connect from outside in a lot of cases.
Right, so you don't have to have an account on the LRNFM Matrix server.
To
join a room on the LRNFM Matrix server.
Sometimes you do. There are certain channels where
Is that a restriction? Is that an option to restrict only people?
There's a handful of channels that I created that I only wanted people in our server to have access to.
Okay.
So the On Air Now channel is one of those.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine because, you know, there's plenty of people in the On Air Now channel. We don't need the federated people coming in there. It makes it more challenging, too, to moderate if you've got people coming in from outside of the server as well. But the other thing about when I say it's decentralized, even though it's on a central server, it's decentralized in that anyone can create a chat room. Whereas on Discord, only the administrators can decide what chat rooms exist. And then, of course, Discord itself can decide to delete your server. But you know, there was no... It was not ground up, meaning that someone who just wants to make a channel about XYZ, they can do that over at chat.freetalklive.com. So go there and get the details on how to get signed up. There's a Free State Project channel on our chat server, and I think there's more than one. There's like the Forkfest channel, which is relatively popular as well.
Yeah, there are two, I believe, Free State Project.
I've heard there's a secret Porkfest channel as well that I am not in. It was some sort of... protesting Porkfest channel, and I don't know what it's called.
I think you're right.
Bonnie's in there, but I'm not in that one.
I think I'm probably in that one as well.
So check it out. Go to chat.freetalklive.com. So here's the wrap-up from Granite State Matters in their hit piece against the Free State Project. They say, how can otherwise intelligent people think that ad hoc groups of individuals can avoid takeover by dictatorships and multinational corporations? A military strong enough to withstand China with no civil command to monitor it would be a dictatorship.
Huh?
I don't know why all of a sudden it went this direction. Like, they were just talking about the Free State Project and sort of the ins and outs of it, and now they're going, like, on a global, international scale here.
I'm trying to wrap my head around that statement.
Let me continue, because there's more on the subject. Without government, who would stop multinationals from taking whatever lands they please and spewing any effluence they care to? Talking about pollution. Infrastructure would deteriorate with no dedicated funding or scheduled maintenance. The naivete of Free Stater plans is jaw-dropping. So what they're saying here is that we need to have a centralized government monopoly on violence in order to stop big companies from taking over.
You know what's kind of interesting, too, about this is that she clearly doesn't know the history of, like, roads in the United States.
That they were private?
Yeah, because a lot of them started as private toll roads, not government toll roads. The government took over the private toll roads.
By force.
By force, right. So this whole idea that, like, oh, we wouldn't have roads if government didn't do it, that's not really true.
Okay, go to Disney World. You can see that private property... can make roads and can actually make roads better than the government. You can also go to private office parks and things like that, right? Like, there's plenty of private roads out there. That one's off the table. That's a ridiculous assertion. But let's look at this idea that mega corporations will just take people's property, will just come in and steal land if it weren't for the government to protect us, when the reality is the opposite is true. It's the megacorporations that are using the government to steal land for their purposes, for their corporate purposes. Kelo versus New London is a perfect example of this in 2005 in New London, Connecticut, where the government of New London, in tandem with a corporation known as the Development Corporation or whatever they were called, New London Development Corporation, got together to literally steal property through eminent domain of people who had lived in a neighborhood for generations. They stole their homes. Those people took the government to court, and they went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, we're going to rule with the state. We're ruling with the town of New London on this because they should be able to take people's private property and give it to corporations if it will give them more tax money. That's basically what the Supreme Court said. So the opposite of what this person is saying in the article about big corporations without the government will just start stealing things. No, it's the state that allows corporations to steal from people. It's the state that empowers these mega corporations to get bigger and bigger and bigger and feed off of and destroy the mom and pop companies out there.
You know, there's also another interesting one to kind of compare to, and that's the internet, right? Like, the internet is a set of private entities that basically have agreements with each other to exchange information, right? And then you have subscribers that subscribe to those entities. Right. And there's nothing that says you couldn't, and I'm not necessarily saying I am advocating for this system, but what I am saying is that there is other solutions that doesn't revolve. The government doesn't run the whole internet, right?
That's right.
Right. And so.
Thank goodness.
Right. And so, like, the idea that you cannot have, designs and systems that doesn't involve a centrally planned government is kind of absurd. You could potentially do something similar to, you know, how the internet's designed, but for roads. So the same thing, you know, is potentially applicable to, you know, other things as well, like police departments, law enforcement. There's nothing that says that you could not have a subscription, just like you have an insurance policy, right? And you subscribe to, or car insurance might be an example where if you get into an accident, you call up your car insurance company and they send somebody out and they'll, you know, figure out, you know, how to deal with the situation and pay out whoever needs to be paid out. You know, the government doesn't have to do these things.
Yeah, and it's hard to really envision how those things would work because it's never been tried.
I think you're kind of right. Like, I think that for the average person, that's true.
Yeah.
But I don't think that. I feel like I have no idea how it could work, right? Like, I feel like we already have systems that work, maybe not work well in many cases, but then again, we have the government that often even works worse. Yeah. So, but the point is that we have systems that do work that are not government, and there's no reason that those systems couldn't be applied in other areas.
So emulate those ideas and see how they work.
You could absolutely emulate, and
it couldn't be worse, right?
Right.
idea of competitive policing or competitive courts, could it be worse than the monopoly system we have?
Yeah, and it's like,
and better than that, you wouldn't be forced to pay for them.
And the interesting part of this is, like, you don't have to go from you don't have to go straight to from having everything be government to nothing be government, right? Like, you could have courts that are still centrally controlled, but have private law enforcement agencies that you subscribed to and then not pay taxes for that, right?
Yeah, that may be how it goes. Who knows?
Right? And then maybe a centrally planned, like you don't have to jump. I don't think anybody is suggesting that overnight, you know, all these systems, these government or centrally controlled systems be replaced. No, that's probably not the way to go. It's probably something you want to work towards over time because you want to see and you want to test things.
I mean, I would press the button if I were given the chance, but yeah, that's not going to happen, right?
I think
people want to go slow.
I think we don't have as much as I think pressing the button would maybe a fun way to go. I don't think any of us have an answer to every single centrally controlled thing, right, that government does. So it probably makes sense before you jump from one thing to another to at least have a proposal, right, or have somebody have an idea on how we can do this. Especially in a competitive way.
Yeah, the more people we can get to New Hampshire, the more ideas are going to be able to be proposed. We're going to have some of the thinkers. We're going to have the doers and the idea people who will come up with things we haven't even thought of yet. as far as how these things could go in the absence of the state. But would it go like this person at Granite State Matters is saying? Would it go to where, if the government were gone tomorrow, would it be true at any point that a quote-unquote multinational would take whatever land they please? No, they wouldn't. And the reason why is because Target or Walmart or Monsanto or whoever it is that the bad guy is in this person's mind, if they come to your property and they try to use force against you to get you to leave your property because they want to build a new Walmart there or whatever it is, you would be able to legally use force to defend yourself, and your neighbors would understand that you were defending yourself against a criminal element calling themselves Walmart that was trying to take your property from you.
Let's take the opposition, what they're going to say.
Okay, go for it.
Well, that's just unrealistic. How are you going to be able to afford to defend yourself when they come with an army?
They're not going to come with an army, number one, because, I mean, that's ridiculous that they would pay that kind of money to take somebody's property. But secondly, you could have your own defense force, which is what you were just talking about a moment ago.
That's unrealistic. You couldn't afford that as an ordinary individual.
Neighborhoods could.
Oh, so what you're saying is insurance, basically.
People coming together and having some sort of
subscription to some sort of insurance that would then cover the expenses in the event somebody tried to take your land.
And the other thing is, it would not be very popular if Walmart, let's say they did overpower you, right? That they did have enough tanks or whatever it would be to take somebody's land or take a whole neighborhood's property, because obviously one house isn't going to be enough to build a Walmart. So you're going to have to take multiple people's property. And so they did overpower. And how would it go as far as what people thought about that? Would people be cheering Walmart on in that circumstance, or would people be cheering on the neighbors who are trying to defend their homes that they've lived in for generations? I tend to think that the people would be cheering on the neighbors, and I think that Walmart's stock price would suffer brutally if Walmart started using an iron fist to expand their stores and started to put guns in their customers' faces. Like, your business is over at this point. As long as I can go over to Target or Amazon or whatever other stores exist, then Walmart's out of business by using violence. The business world does not use violence against one another unless they're connected with governments.
Yeah.
Businesses compete on the basis of price.
Businesses use governments to their advantage.
That's what I'm saying. But without the government there, then they have to compete based on price. They have to compete based on service. And if you start pulling guns out on your customers and on your neighbors, you're not going to last.
Yeah. I think people have this idea.
Not to mention that it's expensive.
The opposition has this idea that there would be no government when you press that big red button, and I think that's kind of a flawed way of understanding what's being proposed. It really isn't that there's no law or there's no government. It's just the government isn't as it would be today in the centrally planned and controlled fashion.
The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Suffice it to say, the future that libertarians are envisioning is not a future where Walmart's going to get to roll a tank over your property and that everybody just be fine with that. Ridiculous. There's more coming up here, and you can join the show. It is Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Thursday news update. Americans may be dealing with flight issues heading into this weekend. According to FlightAware, over 6,300 flights have been delayed across the country Friday. Meantime, almost 700 flights have been canceled. It comes after flight issues plagued the 4th of July weekend. He says, we're fortunate it was just cocaine at the White House this time.
What if somebody wants to conceal some sort of substance that could affect the health of the people there?
Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar sits on the House Appropriations Committee that has jurisdiction over the Secret Service. He says he wants answers about what changes are being made. The baggie found in a cubby near the west executive entrance of the White House. Privacy concerns are delaying the launch of Meta's new Threads app in Europe. The Independent reported earlier this week that Ireland's Data Protection Commission had been in talks with Meta about it. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open if you want to join us here. We're talking about this hit piece, the latest one against the Free State Project, and a long line of hit pieces that have gone on for, you know, two decades, roughly. Because the Free State Project, that migration of libertarians, the only real successful one out there right now on the planet, focusing here in New Hampshire, getting thousands of people to move here. Hundreds moved in, several hundred moved in just the last year, 1,100 the year prior to that. We've seen record numbers of people coming here in recent years, especially after COVID. But it's been tremendously successful seeing what has happened here. And, of course, because of that, the people in the opposition, the people who love the government, they have taken notice. And they are very, very concerned. And if you haven't watched the NBC Boston documentary yet, that's a great way to really get a feel for these people, because NBC Boston really did a great job of talking to both sides. So they had some,
definitely.
They had a bunch of Free Staters on the show, and they also brought in some of these Free State haters.
It was really interesting just how well of a job they did, considering, you know, the narrative of these major corporations like NBC.
It's usually
one-sided.
Yeah, they're really, really well done documentary. You can check it out at nbcboston.com/freestate. Recommend it. It's an 11-part series. And it's really, really well done. In fact, they even have an extra series where they did what they call a watch party,
where they would take the 11 parts are like 10 to 15 minutes in length each. So they would take one of those parts and then they would sort of sandwich it into a half an hour long content package where at the end they did like a 10-minute long interview with somebody who was in that particular documentary. So they would talk to some of the Free Staters or they would talk to one of the haters. And that's where they really even dug even deeper into what these people think. It's fascinating to watch the people that hate the Free State Project and some of the things that they say. Some of those things are kind of unintentional compliments where they'll say things about how successful we've been at doing things like influencing the Republican Party or whatever things. So there's a little bit of that coming up here in the remainder of this hit piece that we've been reading here throughout the show tonight. And just kind of talking about the things they get right and the things they get wrong here from Granite State Matters, which is one of the hate groups that hates the Free State Project. So here's the remainder of it. So they're focusing on the Discord server, the Free State Project's Discord server. And they say that the Discord server that posted the rules above that they were complaining about also included post-Porkfest feedback. Attendees were generally positive, but a number complained about, quote, too many nude people. Unquote. Members discussed how they might discourage men from, quote, wagging their penises at me, unquote, and keep nude people away from the family area without having rules that required them to do so. I just want to point out that a lot of the people talking crap about naked people at Porkfest weren't there.
Yep.
They only heard about there being naked people at Porkfest, or they saw a photograph that I shared and Carlin Borshenko shared from the Naked Olympics. And that was what they were going off of. That was what they extrapolated that, oh, my God, there's men waving their junk in front of children. No, that did not actually happen. There have been absolutely zero reports of that happening at the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
It's so funny. Just thinking about, like, my European friends. I don't really have that many European friends. But the point is, like, just talking to other European acquaintances and friends, I guess, over the years. And I find it so interesting, like, this perspective that nudity somehow is, like, a threat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, looking at it, like, they'll explain how, like, oh, like they don't understand, like they don't even understand, like, what the concern is, right?
Yeah.
Like, because they've got, you know, they've got nudity in public. They've got, you know, naked women on the walls in the subway systems. Like,
yeah, they have nude beaches.
They have nude, right. And we're not even talking about nude beaches. We have, they're beaches are just, like, even their non-nude beaches, there's, like, nudity. Like,
yeah, it's
like,
not it's uncommon. Not,
yeah, it's uncommon. Not this, you know, we have this, I shouldn't say we, but there is this prudishness in America. And in some ways, I think it's actually gotten worse over the last 20, 30 years.
Mm.
You know, you don't see, there used to be in the United States, there used to be way more nudity and people, you know, seeing each other naked, you know, in locker rooms and just, you know, just different places. And now it's like, nope, can't have that.
Yeah, one of the things that the Europeans understand, and there's a lot of things Europeans get wrong, but they don't get everything wrong.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they understand is that a naked person, being at a beach or walking down a street or whatever, isn't sexual.
Nope.
It is not going to harm someone to see a naked person. You may not like that person being naked. You may not appreciate their body or the, you know, how chiseled they are or not chiseled they are, whatever, right? Like how beautiful the woman is or how ugly or fat, you know, she might be. They may have a preference about whether they wanted to see that person naked, but they don't really care. It doesn't really matter. But yet here, and it's really sad how many people in the purported liberty movement get all upset about this. And it does show how the American culture has this puritanical streak that runs through it, including even the libertarian movement.
Oh, yeah.
When you posted a picture that Carlin Borshenko took at the Naked Olympics, which I did attend a portion of, but we had to cut out pretty early. It was a fun event that people had a good time at. It was all adults from, like, while I was there, at least. There were a lot of people taking pictures. A lot of the mainstream media was there taking photographs of this particular event. And there were maybe, you know, maybe a dozen, maybe 10 naked people.
It wasn't many at all.
Were you there for it?
No, I wasn't there for that, but okay. There just wasn't many people. I just know there's not many people just on the campground.
No, overall, there weren't general, but this was a time that there were more because it was the Olympics.
But I guess what I'm just trying to say is that, this is so overblown.
It is. I went to the, we went 2 days prior when we visited. We went to the Body Freedom Village, which is where the Naked Olympics happened. And at that time, there were only two naked people at the Body Freedom Village.
Yeah, right, okay? Right. Like, I mean, this is exactly what I'm saying, right? Like, people are freaking out about, like, naked people running all over the campground. And it's like...
It didn't happen.
I ran into, I think, Jeff in his skirt. So he was really naked.
Supposedly, he had, like, some sort of undies or something under that this year.
I didn't even notice that. I just noticed... I mean, I guess I didn't look closely. You know,
rumor
gay guy,
it.
I would have, but I didn't.
Yeah, rumor has it. I've heard a rumor that L. Stone was cavorting around the campground naked.
Okay, I saw
that.
But I don't know.
That's supposedly the most offensive thing that happened. Somebody else complained because one of the libertarians, actually, from the Libertarian Party, complained that Aria had topless women on the Free Talk Live site.
Yes, and that was the other one that I was thinking of was as far as nudity and
toplessness. Not even we're not talking about genitalia
right.
here. Okay. So I mean, first of all, no one was behaving in a sexual manner. The Naked Olympics were literally people running and like shooting bows and arrows and things like that. Right. Like it's at best silly.
Yep.
To see a bunch of naked dudes. It's a silly thing to see. It's not a titillating. It's not a... I mean, you're a gay guy.
Yeah.
What is it... I mean, for you, seeing a bunch of average dudes naked...
It wasn't worth my effort to walk over to where the Body Freedom Village was to see a couple of naked... And not even... Maybe a couple more weren't bad looking, but for the most part, not even good looking guys.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is not something anybody's gonna, you know.
You're not gonna win an award for beauty at this group. Yeah,
I've tried to not use words appropriately here.
A couple of them were in pretty good shape. I'll give them
right.
That.
A couple, but we're talking about probably a couple out of the dozen.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it's like they're not doing sexual things. Okay,
no.
So like, there's nothing to turn someone on unless you believe that a naked person is inherently sexual. Then maybe you'd be turned on by this. But it's not sexual.
Yeah, I mean, and just thinking about it a little bit, like, I'm not even sure I would care if it was sexual.
I wouldn't either.
Like, who's being harmed? It's not like we're talking about non-consenting adults, you know,
or
non-consensual situation.
There was some sort of kink tent 1 year at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but that was enclosed, so it wasn't being shown publicly. They were supposedly tying some woman up, and it was doing what they call a ropes show for people that are into that kind of thing. But I wouldn't care if that was being done out
openly. I don't even understand, like, why people get so uptight about explaining this stuff to their kids.
Right? I don't either.
Like, so what happens if they saw some, you know, and it kind of, there is softcore porn on, like, television in Europe, like, the day. Like, why is it that Americans are so freaked out about people, that their kids might see something sexual? Like,
I think it's a religious thing.
They
were raised to believe that it's bad.
Explain to them what was going on, and it's the thing between two adults. It's something that's natural. It's every human just about does it. It's not this thing that you have to be freaked out or concerned about.
I don't understand it.
It's just this mental block that seems to be, you know,
they get really irrational. Yeah, mental block is the right term. They just, you cannot rationalize with these people. And so instead, they make a big to-do about it. They act like they're going to not attend the Porcupine Freedom Festival the next year. And I'm
good.
Fine, please.
Good, please
you
don't.
You can't handle it. You can't handle people being free. It has nothing to do with what your kids are... The people at Body Freedom Village aren't doing it to titillate anyone or to corrupt the minors or whatever it is these conservative types believe. And these people go all the way to the wall with their insanity about what they think is really going on. Like this guy saying they wagged their units at him. No, that didn't happen.
And I think people don't always understand what it means, what freedom means when we're talking about, like, a libertarian, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the non-aggression principle, and it means that if nobody's like physically hurting you effectively, right, without your consent at least, that's it. Like, I mean, that's it, you know? And, yeah. and that's not happening when there's two, you might dislike something somebody says, but that doesn't give you the right to use violence against them.
Should we also ban public displays of affection? Because that could be offensive, well, right? Like, if I kiss my wife
in
public.
And it goes, and you can take this to, I want to say, an extreme, but if you look at Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have, the women aren't allowed to walk around without without their husband and a full facial veil.
Yeah. I don't know if that's Saudi Arabia, but Iran or something. I don't know if it's even Iran.
It doesn't even matter.
Which country
the point is that there are countries where women cannot walk around, without being fully covered, their whole face.
You'll go to prison.
And have a man with them.
Yeah. Or they'll be executed. One person described her discomfort. Remember, this is just somebody posting on the Discord server, okay? One person described her discomfort with seeing a man with an erection watching children.
Yeah, so
I don't believe it.
Didn't happen.
I don't believe it at all.
This is a woman who had admitted, I do believe, to having seen another man's genitalia without...
Well, she'd never seen another man's genitalia?
Other than her husband's, I believe, is what... What was the case? Yeah, something to that effect.
Wait. She's never seen another man's genitalia in the erect state.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. You know, so that's a good question.
We don't want to get too graphic,
right?
But this could have been a shower. Not a grower.
Yeah.
Could have been somebody who...
Because
you know what I'm saying.
Different men have different, So I guess when her husband was, it wasn't more than a typical man, or at least it wasn't, I don't know, something along that. I guess she had never seen porn even. You know, so she didn't know, and she just assumed.
So this is a sheltered... woman who grew up with some crazy religious restrictions.
Something like that,
I guess. She married the first guy she ever went on a date with or whatever, and that's her whole experience when it comes to sexuality. And so she just presumed that some naked guy who's well hung...
She got called out on it, and said something to that effect.
Wow. So some naked guy who's well hung just hanging around the park. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're at Porkfest... and you look in any general direction, there's probably going to be somebody's kids running around. Like, there's literally hundreds. If there's 2,000 people at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and we figure, half of them have kids, right? I mean, you're looking at a few hundred people. There's probably more than half of them have kids. I've heard as many as 400 to 600 kids attend this particular event. I don't know if it's true. I've just heard I've seen that number been thrown around before, because some people have more than one kid.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, they say here in this hit piece...
I will say? I think from a libertarian perspective, the Porcupine Freedom Festival is very kid-friendly.
As long as you're not some sort of uppity...
It's just not for conservatives.
Right.
And basically, I think when libertarians say kid-friendly, what they're referring to is that there's games and activities for kids. It's not about... it's not...
It's not like the only thing happening is the naked Olympics.
There are so many other things. There's people who are into guns, and there's people who are into mesh networking and 3D printing stuff. And
there's literally an entire curriculum
and
for kids.
Yeah, there's kids.
They're playing games
kids
and running around.
Games and
there's a playground. There's a pool. There's a pool.
There's such a diverse variety of stuff that goes on at the Porkfest.
But it's interesting that the people on the left, which is what this group is, this Granite State Matters, is a leftist mm-hmm. group. It's interesting that they are also authoritarian in this particular way, because you would think, based on like stereotyping, that people on the left might be more accepting to naked people, like that they might be more okay with that. But no, there's some people on the left who are as upset about there being naked people at the Porcupine Freedom Festival as some of the conservatives are. Just because these people are all raised in this puritanical religious cult here in America. And it's sad.
Yeah, it's like I say this again and again and again, but I don't really see a huge difference between Republicans and Democrats.
There's more that there's more they're similar on. They don't
I mean, even if you can say, okay, well, the Democrats tend to be this way or the Republicans tend to be that way, it's almost indistinguishable. Like, if you were to start talking about different subjects, it's like, okay, let's have a game. It's almost like we need a game. Can you guess whether it's a Republican or a Democrat that introduced like maybe a bill? Because
yeah, good luck.
It would be entertaining to see, you know. Which what people got right and what people didn't get right.
So the wrap up here is almost done with this from Granite State Matters. She says another complaint that some attendees seem to view the fair more as an opportunity. They're talking about Porkfest more as an opportunity for licentiousness than a celebration of freedom. Well, why not both? Why can't people have you know, their drugs and their nudity or whatever, and the people who want to go read the Bible can go read the Bible? I mean, that's how Porkfest is.
Do they not, you know, it's interesting, and I don't know if this article gets into it, but like, do they just completely not care about the drugs? Like, is it just the nudity?
Oh, no, they complained about the drugs earlier.
Oh, they did. Okay, okay.
They showed pictures of the drug tables.
Okay, okay.
Selling mushrooms.
So they, I mean, these are, they just hate freedom.
They do.
Yeah.
They really do. None of the posters appeared to notice that the issues they were discussing demonstrated why societies have rules and laws. Reasonable people disagree about what is reasonable, much less the unreasonable ones. Yet, the FSP message is appealing. Like hippies lured to San Francisco with flowers in their hair 50 years ago, innocents continue to heed its call. New Hampshire residents should wake up and smell the porcupines. And that's the end of that story. So they do admit at the end that it is an appealing message, right? And that's one of the frustrations to these people. As much as they try to act like the Free State Project is this weird, obscure group that is so, they're turning everybody off, which is what they tried to act like throughout most of this article.
Oh, yeah.
They also admit that the message is appealing, and they did have to admit that Free Staters are getting elected. And so, like, they're really frustrated by what's going on here because they know that it isn't going to stop. In the New Hampshire, in the NBC Boston series at nbcboston.com/freestate, at one point, one of the big opponents, her name is Zandra Hawkins. She's the person who runs a group called Granite State Progress, which I think is related to Granite State Matters. But anyway, Zandra, in her interview, I think it was her interview, actually, when they did the watch party with her, where she got to talk more, she expressed that she was hoping that later on that the Free State Project will just be this little foothill in the history of New Hampshire, and it will be all forgotten about, and
the Free Staters will have
all gone away, and we will have disappeared, and we will have completely failed. But she really doesn't believe that, right? That's not why she was there. That's not why she's doing the things she's doing. She doesn't believe that that's true. She knows the Free State Project is growing. She knows that there's more people coming here. She knows we're having more success. And that's what she wants to be true, but her actions belie the fact that she really does believe that the Free State Project is here to stay, and it's becoming more and more influential, and articles like this are proof of it.
You know what's interesting? I found interesting this year. I felt like there was more people from outside the United States. I don't know. Did you notice that? Yeah, or feel like
I wasn't there long enough to really get a feel for it.
I like every person I feel like I talked to. I mean, obviously not everyone, but
there were a couple guys that came to our crypto meetup this week.
Yeah,
from
but
one from Australia, one from
Germany. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about just all the people I felt like I was talking to. Like a lot of the new faces, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. The people who had never been were here from. You know, I mean, I guess Germany would be an example.
And they want to move those two guys.
Yeah, right. And I thought that was interesting, right? Because we're talking about people who are going to have to jump through some pretty significant hoops.
It's
we're not
hard
just
to do
talking
it.
About people who, you know, are, you know, trying to move from one state to another.
Yeah, this
from
is
one state
serious.
To another is a lot of work, but it's, you know, it's not over.
Yeah, you just ran a moving truck.
Right?
And, you know,
I mean, we're talking about people who have to, you know, they have to get a job. They have to get a green card.
Yeah, they have to cross the mountain of paperwork in order to get in here.
Right.
It's crazy.
And then they have to be coming from a country, you know, where there's not too many people immigrating from because
there's all kinds of rules.
There's like a certain percentage of people that are allowed.
Yeah.
And if that country has too many people coming,
there's a quota.
They're not allowed.
Yep.
But some countries, it's not going to be as bad. You know, it's not going to be as bad as far as immigration.
Right.
Germany is probably one of them. Most of probably Western Europe, I suspect.
I don't know.
But
I've
places like Mexico, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably not getting in. Just because of the number of people who want to move. Or South America, good luck. You're probably not getting in.
Yeah, I wish them the best. And I hope that you know, I hope they can find themselves a nice man or woman that they really love here in New Hampshire and then get married, and that will probably help their procedure, as I understand it. It's a little easier if you're
I don't know. I mean, I was always under the impression that those rules were, you know, that allowed that to make it easier were no more, or
no,
they got rid of them.
It's hard, though.
It's harder than it used to be. But
it's not as as some people might think.
Okay.
Like, they're going to check you out. Yeah. Like, if you say you are married to somebody, it can't be a sham.
Right, right.
You actually should be living with that person and in love with that person, because they're going to, like, ask you questions about the, you know, the person that you purportedly are in love with that you should be able to answer. Like, they get really invasive with this procedure.
Oh, I can only imagine. I'd probably end up failing, because you'd be like, what is your anniversary
date? What's Bob's
favorite
food?
Yeah, what time? I'd be like, double quarter pounder with cheese, maybe, and medium fry. Anyway.
Speaking of invasive, you've got a short, just a quickie little news blip here about Kraken, the Bitcoin exchange that is being targeted now, apparently, by the IRS. They want Kraken to cough up some customer records.
Yeah, so this is a story from Bloomberg. Kraken ordered to turn over its users' information to the IRS. And this is kind of interesting, because this is new, but this is not the first time.
Yeah, this happened to Coinbase.
That the IRS has gotten a hold of data. And it's both disturbing, but at the same time, probably more of a fear story in some sense, to scare people away from cryptocurrency.
Absolutely.
Than it is, like, you have to, most people anyway, have to be super concerned about this.
Well, Coinbase originally fought this in court.
They did.
And they got the IRS to back down from requesting all of their customers' information, and only customers that had purchased more than $20,000 in crypto.
Yeah, so in this case, they also, basically anybody who purchased $20,000 of cryptocurrency trading in any single year between 2016 and 2020, is their information is going to be handed over if they use Kraken. Now, this is why, you know, one of the reasons why I'm constantly saying avoid the exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any place that, you know, asks for your personal information, you probably want to avoid.
They've got records, yeah.
It may not be the end of the world if you do use an exchange and you don't do a lot of, you know, purchasing on it, but it's still better to avoid it than not, because if you do end up getting to a point where you do end up hitting that $20,000 threshold and you forget to report it or whatever, or you don't report it correctly, they're gonna audit you, and who wants to be audited?
Right. If you signed their paperwork saying you swear under the penalty of perjury that you didn't do a thing that you actually did, well, guess what? That's gonna be a felony charge for you in that case, and that's what they're looking for here. So, good idea, Chris. Try to avoid these centralized exchanges if at all possible. Out of time for tonight. Join us online and join Chris at freedomdecrypted.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.